Paris is like a war zone right now.
Police beef up security around the Rungis International Market. Farmers' unions had called on protesters to target the market on Monday, marking the beginning of what they call an indefinite siege on the capital.
And the mainstream media don't want you to know about it. I wonder why that is. Well, in today's video, I'm going to go through and break this down, how it isn't an isolated incident. It follows on from something that I covered last year, where it has spread to other countries. And it's not getting better, it's actually getting worse. I'm then going to show you the reasons why this is taking place. I'll give you my own opinion on these reasons, whether there's any legitimacy behind it, or if it's the usual actors who are trying to spread their agenda. We'll then look at this from both sides of the fence, and finally how this can affect you. So let's get straight into it. Paris is like a war zone right now, and I don't say that lightly. When you have the government issuing armored vehicles and 15,000 heavily armed police onto the streets to, and I quote, stop the farmers at any cost, it tells you that this is a pretty serious event.
The farmers are setting up 8 choke points on highways leading into Paris. Police are under orders to prevent any incursion into the city itself and disruption to airports.
Although you wouldn't know it from the mainstream media reporting stories on missing dogs and a fireman bringing a cat down from a tree. Yes, they've got to cover the really important stories for us today. Yes, of course. So why then are these farmers blocking the road? Why is the government calling them right-wing extremists, even going as far as calling them terrorists? Well, let's take a look at exactly what's going on. The government of Paris has actually deployed armored personnel carriers with 15,000 police onto the streets, some of whom are carrying military-grade weaponry. Now, I don't know about you when you were growing up, but when I was growing up, policemen had these sort of truncheons or batons. Nowadays, they seem to look more like army or special forces than they do police. Quite an interesting way to deal with farmers. Yes, farmers. And it really says something when you have individuals that traditionally will operate on their own. It's not as if they are a team that work together. They will traditionally operate on their own farm, their own homestead, I guess we can say. So for them to come together to deal with this issue, it tells you that it's pretty serious. Now, we'll get into all of the WEF and United Nations and Net Zero and everything else a little bit later. I want to go into those policies. But this isn't isolated. This has actually happened. It started in the Netherlands. I covered that last year. It spread to all sorts of other countries. Germany, very heavy protests at the moment. Although, again, you wouldn't know it because it's not covered on any mainstream media on the TV. So let's get into this problem then. We'll use Germany as a good test case, which is somewhat similar to a lot of the other EU countries who are going through this problem at the moment. So, what happened? We all know there was COVID, there was all this situation, there was lockdown for many years. What then happened was, at the same time as all these events were going on, the United Nations, the WEF, another amount of other organizations decided that they would use the whole pandemic to push through this carbon net zero policy. This whole, by 2027, if we don't stop temperature rises and carbon, then it's irreversible and the whole planet's gonna die, right? That whole spiel. But what you probably don't know is that the UN and some of these other organizations actually told a lot of countries that you can use your COVID emergency measures and funding to actually push forward net zero, because it is kind of connected. Because if you think about how do we stop the next outbreak, well, it could be related to climate, you see. You know, they had this very, very weak link and they put it together. So a lot of countries ran with this and they used this in order to push through a lot of funding for their net zero policies. However, one by one, the countries started to look into this a little bit more. There started to be some appeals and the court started to overturn these policies as illegal. Yes, you heard that right. The policies of their own governments of these countries were deemed illegal by the court system. So if you are these leaders of these different European nations, what do? Well, you need to still push through this green funding, this net zero funding, otherwise you're going to look bad at the next Davos meeting, which we covered over the last couple of weeks. So what do when you have no budget for these things because you haven't got the emergency measures anymore? Well, then you need to take the funding from somewhere else. This is where you kill two birds with one stone. What do I mean by that? Well, where is a lot of incentives going? Where are a lot of grants going? It's to farming. You may know this as subsidization is another term for it. So what do? Where is the biggest things we need to bring down all of this carbon and GHGs? It is the farming and agricultural sector. So that's why I say you kill two birds with one stone. You take away all the subsidies, you increase taxes onto the agricultural sector, onto farmers, and at the same time, you take away all of their subsidies. By doing this, a lot of European governments were able to hit their CO2 targets, GHG targets, very, very quickly indeed. And it has worked. They have forced a number of farmers out of the sector. But at the same time, it's not a coincidence that you have been seeing your food prices rising at the supermarkets. However, these illustrious leaders have a solution for that as well. And that is that we import all of these foods and fruits and vegetables from elsewhere outside of the EU. Certain countries don't have the same rules and regulations. So of course it's cheaper to get our food from these countries. But doesn't that kind of defy the point, Neil, here, you may ask? And the answer is yes, it does, because all you're doing is a paper exercise. You're moving your emissions targets from your country over to another developing nation. And then you can turn up in Davos and say, look what we've done. We've taken all of our emissions, we've dropped them right down. Yeah, we got rid of our farming sector, which is food security, one of the most important things that you need as a country. And the farmers know this so well. The people who don't know this are the city dwellers. These are some of the most intelligent people, as we're told by our society, the people with master's degrees and they're university lecturers and they're the experts at Davos. These are the people that are making all these decisions, who say it's okay not to have food security. It's okay to import all of our foods. Yeah, it's okay until we have the breakdown of globalization, which is ongoing right now. I talked about it back in 2020, the breakdown had begun, and we're now getting quite well into this breakdown. All it takes is a little bit more military conflict and breakdown between countries, and we'll see this accelerate even quicker. So we have another problem now. We have this breakdown with food security, which is complete madness. It is absolutely insane, and I don't care who thinks otherwise. So let's get on to the other side then. Let's look at the farmers' side, and let's see what they are upset about. Well, number one, they say that they need better pay. Some of them are just breaking even each year, or they're making less than 20,000 euros to sustain an entire family. That is, how you can sustain a family on that and a farm and everything else, I have absolutely no idea. I know that I certainly couldn't do that. Waking up before sunrise, putting in a 12 plus hour day, the farmers are probably saying 12 is more like 16 or 18, Neil, and they don't get paid enough for it. And by the way, I fully support all of our farmers. I fully support anyone who grows the food that I eat, that my family eat. I think anyone who doesn't support the farmers and is out there calling them far right-wing extremists, terrorists, and all the other things are absolute morons. These are the people who grow your food. What else do they say? Paperwork. The farmers are saying they're doing so much paperwork that they just can't even get out to do a lot of the farming. And this again is all because of the EU. They want protection from these cheap imports, which the EU is trying to push. We talked about this just a minute ago. They're trying to import all of the food because it's cheaper and they don't have to declare the carbon and the greenhouse gases and everything else. The farmers also are furious. I mean, this is the dumbest one I have heard. They're furious because the EU wants them to move away from diesel. Yes, you did just hear that correctly. The EU wants them to stop using diesel and to invent something that is more sustainable or more renewable for farming. Yeah, you did just hear that correctly. Can you imagine tractors with solar panels or windmills sort of on top of the tractor or so? No, you need diesel. You need the energy from this fuel for the kind of work required. I mean, this is insanity. What do you think it is that's enabled farming to produce the amount of food it does? It's from going from the horse and plow, or the cow and the plow, through to industrialized mechanized equipment that we have today. It is the fertilizers, although that's a whole nother topic that I won't get into. But when you remove all of these things and you say, you need to use something else apart from diesel, and to make sure you do this, we're not going to subsidize your diesel. We're going to make it so expensive that you have to come up with, or an entrepreneur somewhere has to come up with something that's more energy efficient so that you move away from diesel. It's madness. It is pie in the sky thinking by these people who are super intelligent with all of their master's degrees and everything else, trying to tell the farmers, the people who have been doing this for multiple generations, how to farm. I mean, it's crazy. So where are these protests going on then? Well, I was surprised. I'd not even heard of some of these. France, Germany, Italy, Spain, Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, Belgium, and the Netherlands. In fact, you've even got France and Spain, the farmers fighting each other, tipping over each other's trucks, burning each other's food, blowing up each other's wine. Yes, this actually did happen. Someone set off a miniature explosive device. I mean, there's craziness going on. You've got Poland, you've got Ukraine, the Polish farmers upset with the Ukrainian farmers. The whole of Europe is a tinderbox right now, just waiting to go off. You know, people talk about Russia and the conflict with Russia. You don't even need Russia when you've got the conflict within the EU. And I made a video several years ago, which was a very popular video, and I talked about how a nation divided is half conquered, if you remember that video. And I think that really resonated with a lot of people because they could see, even back then, 2020, 2021, what was happening. We were being divided from within. And this is what I'm seeing. I think it's an absolute tragedy that this is happening. And it's not happening by us. It's happening because there are unelected leaders. And this is the whole point in elections, in governments, is people elected by the people to serve the people. That is the whole point of it, not to have unelected officials coming in and then telling our elected officials what to do because they're smarter. I've seen this over and over again. I've read it in the history books. I am a huge history buff. I've seen it. This is going to end in disaster. And look, I get it. I get why all the Greens, want to go along with this, and they're pushing it through, and they're sharing these stories of right-wing extremist farmers on their social media and, all this sort of stuff. I get it. People are concerned. But again, this is another divide and conquer tactic. It is using the fear of death. If you don't do something now, if you don't get people to change their behaviors, you're going to die. Your kids are going to, it's all this sort of stuff. It's one of the oldest tricks in the book. And that's actually why videos like what I'm saying here are not even, I don't even know if they're allowed on the platforms anymore to say these sort of things, because I'm basically saying what is going on. And we'll probably get into that in another video, the new EU hate speech law that's come out now, where you say anything against the government or you say anything against some of these media channels. I mean, this new law is so broad. I don't want to get into it today. But these are some of the other concerns I've got right now. And remember what the goals are of these policies. Never forget this. It is a 55% decrease in GHGs, greenhouse gas emissions, by the 1990s levels, and they want to do this by 2030, a 55% decrease on those levels. Think about that for a moment. Think about what that means. And they've even gone into saying about the food supply. So they're very clear on this. This isn't a mystery, it isn't a conspiracy theory or the other stupid comments I see. This is a fact. You can read it on the website of these organizations. They want to bring it down, and they say that farming has to be sustainable. It has to be local. It has to be used with sustainable materials. It has to be done without fertilizers. How on earth? I don't know. It has to be used using renewable energy sources. The one that most surprised me was price. You see, price wasn't really a part of this. It was all about the food. And then it went on to, and here's where we got the kicker. And that said, that means making some hard choices, because a lot of the carbon is emitted by livestock. So what does that mean? It means emitting the highest carbon producing food sources. That is why you're seeing the livestock farms dropping off a cliff in terms of numbers. That is why you're seeing all the grants to cull livestock. That is why you're seeing campaigns against milk and butter and eggs and all these other things. In fact, by their very own study, this was a staggering statement on their website here, and it says that 30% of the EU's agricultural areas are on target for land abandonment by 2030. On target for land abandonment by 2030. Think about that statement for a second, and it tells you just how crazy some of these people are. The other statistic, which was quite staggering, between 2005 and 2016, the number of farms in Europe decreased by 25%. This is nearly 4.2 million farms. They say this is a good thing because it brought down carbon emissions. And finally then, one thing that I was absolutely amazed by was a recent study that they have just done, which says that growing your own food may not be allowed in the future. Yes, if you have a garden, you have allotments, you have something like that where you have grown food, it says, and this is a natural study, you're producing up to 5 times more carbon than a normal farm. This research was done by the University of Michigan, and it said that a traditional farm produces 0.07 kilograms of CO2 compared to 0.34 kilograms by individuals. And that is why they made this proposal that you should not be able to grow your own food in the future. These people are psychopaths. Goodbye.